In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity.
Amen.
Amen. Both of our scripture readings today evoke the image of journey, of stepping into uncertainty and discovering what trust in God looks like on an experiential level. Abraham ventures out into a strange land in response to God's call. Nicodemus ventures out at night in response to curiosity about who Jesus is. Both of them allowed God's presence to shape their choices in the midst of their questions and their fears and their doubts. Our world gives us daily reminders of uncertainty and ample opportunity to walk forward prayerfully and in trust. As news has unfolded about the Middle East, it's one more moment for us to pray for peace, to discern, to wisely act as our consciences dictate. It's one more moment, one more opportunity for us to keep walking forward, allowing God's presence to shape our choices in the midst of our questions and fears and doubts. This is certainly what the nature of belief is. Not certainty. Not an intellectual nod to the concept of God. Belief is the refusal to give in to fear or despair, and instead to make a choice to walk forward, holding on to God's love as the foundation of everything else. Belief is ultimately about what we choose to do and how we choose to live. In our gospel reading, Jesus presents two images to Nicodemus. And I'll say this is a really complicated gospel reading. He goes through a lot of imagery. There is a lot of reference to the Hebrew scriptures. And I'm not going to prolong the sermon by explicating that at length for you, as disappointing as that may be to you. So I'll just boil it down. And if you have any real questions about Jesus being equated to a serpent in the wilderness, you can ask me at the back later. The gospel reading, Jesus presents two images to Nicodemus. The first is of rebirth, and the second is of Jesus as a source of healing. That's what all the discussion of Jesus being lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, is ultimately about. It's about Jesus as healing. The central point of both of these images is that Jesus is the source of life as one who will be lifted up, first on the cross, then through his resurrection and his ascent into heaven. In the end, Jesus makes the basic point that apart from God, we can do nothing. It's God's initiative that leads to rebirth and to salvation. Renewal and hope start with God. And so often, we can feel like we are waiting for renewal and hope, and we wish we could manufacture it, and we long for it. And that's why Jesus' reminders about the consistency of God's character and God's love are so very important. We need to hear this in the midst of our fears and anxieties. And so we come to this well-known verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Most of us know this verse. Most of us have seen this verse on placards, perhaps, or on television. It's so commonly quoted and so often seen out of context that it can grow a little stale, and we can miss how profoundly it speaks about love and faith. This is the only place in John's gospel where God is explicitly said to love the world. So think about that the next time you see this on a placard that perhaps may not be in a context that's that loving. God's love wins. And so we return again to what belief is and isn't. Clearly, belief in Jesus is important. And often that's what we hear most commonly discussed in relation to this passage. But belief too often is limited to the extent to which we sign on to certain ideas or certain concepts. And there can be all kinds of struggle in us about whether our belief counts, and I put that in scare quotes, because we still have questions or doubts. And I want to suggest that the way that believing in Jesus is framed in this gospel is about starting points. It's about journey. It's about responding to God's invitation and stepping into the unknown because of whom we decide to trust. It's about allowing God to call us out of fear and despair, even as headlines alarm us and as we face uncertainties about the future. What the scriptures teach us about belief is that it's a process. But it requires that we listen to God's voice and allow ourselves to be unsettled. This was literally the case for Abram as he was called away from his kindred and his father's house. Nicodemus was called away from playing it safe with his professional colleagues and sneaking out at night to converse with Jesus when everyone was kind of looking askance at what Jesus was saying in Nicodemus's circles. With both Abram and Nicodemus, belief was this process of struggle or trial and error, of experimentation, of uncertainty. They didn't totally understand everything about God when they began to shape their lives around listening to God's voice. Sometimes they made mistakes, but they persevered and they changed and they grew. Later in John's gospel, Nicodemus is one of the few who assisted in making sure that Jesus had an honorable burial. Once he had come secretively to Jesus with his questions for fear of what others would think. But he becomes one who is willing to be associated with Jesus in the most desperate of times, when many of his colleagues were part of seeking out Jesus' crucifixion. This is a man that has stepped from self-protection into faith and love. We don't know the specifics of how he grew, but the nature of his belief deepened the more he listened to Jesus' voice and let go of his old assumptions and fears. We hear Lent often described as a journey. Our opening hymn speaks of Lent as the pilgrim way. Where are we going in this season? What beliefs of ours get in the way of our hearing God's voice? If belief is what gets expressed in what we do, what would you say your actions reflect about what you believe from day to day? Sometimes we can't hear God's voice speaking into the places in our lives that need change because we're afraid. We fear the risk of letting go of the past, of old grudges, of things that feel like home in our lives. Sometimes, even if we know the familiar isn't the healthiest thing, it's the familiar thing. Sometimes the old, the status quo, can seem too powerful. We struggle to envision that God can create something new within us. But we can embrace a Lenten discipline of reframing our belief, reframing what we do. We can choose to take a step towards God in confidence of God's loving character and allow the nature of our belief and our hope to be reshaped, even or especially in the midst of times of conflict and difficulty. This is what the belief of which Jesus speaks in today's gospel looks like and feels like. It's not certainty. In fact, sometimes it feels like we're less certain but more trusting. We let go of assuming that we know everything about situations and people, and we can pray for people that we dislike and that we think are beyond hope. We can pray for peace, and we can pray to be people of peace in our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships. We can let go of assuming that Jesus is a nice thing to talk about on Sundays, but that has little to do with what happens when we go out these doors. And we can then discover Jesus as the source of life as we allow him to be with us in the situations that don't make sense, in the situations that are full of pain. And as we move forward without having all the answers, knowing that Jesus faced and overcame the power of death in our world. This is how we live into belief. And this is how we discover healing and hope, and how we can allow the Holy Spirit, the one who is the very mind of Christ, the Prince of Peace, to heal and renew us over and over again. Amen.